When I was younger, I used to lead a bit of worship in church.
And very, very much last century. When I was a kid, we used to sing hymns in church. Anyone remember hymns? Yeah, there's a few, I was going to say old-timers, young-timers. And we used to sing a lot of hymns, and then, hey, there you go. Good. And so, we used to sing hymns, and then, still pretty young, they started to bring in something called choruses. Anyone remember praise choruses? And kind of went from the classical music style of hymns to this. For a while, we had this kind of boom cha. Remember this one? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, He is the King. Some of you just felt the anointing there. I just sensed it. Others of you are going, what in the world was that? And so we had this kind of, I will enter his gates. And this kind of, these were the top 10 back in the 60s and 70s. He is the King of Kings. And then kind of a bit of a swing feel came in. We had songs like, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Sing it with me if you know it. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Some of you remember those ones? And then there was a while, must have been late 70s, where people kind of got into Jewish music. Songs like, when the Spirit of the Lord fills my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord fills my heart, I will sing like David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing like David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing like David sang. Hoy! Had to have the hoy on the end, And anyone remember those ones? Awake, O Israel, then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance. And that was another kind of period in our praise and worship time machine this morning. And then a kind of minor with a little bit of rock came in. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. For I am with you, says the Lord. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Now you're realizing what you missed out last century. If you're visiting today, welcome. And so music styles changed, and then we used to sing some beautiful ballads. This is a song that a housewife from a small church in Oregon, I think it was, wrote. I think it's about the only song that I'm aware she wrote, and it's just a simple song. It actually went all around the world. Beautiful song of worship. If you know it, sing it with me. I love you, Lord, and I live my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in Let's sing that one more time. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Yes, let me be sweet, sweet sound in your ear. It's a song I wrote called Jesus, I Desire to Know You More. Let me just share it and minister to you today. Jesus, I desire to know I desire to know you more and more. I long to see your face. I need to hear your I yearn to feel your touch reaching deep into my soul. Oh, Jesus, how I long for you. Oh, Jesus, how I long for you. Jesus, I desire to know you more and more. Jesus, I desire to know you more and more. I long to see your face. I need to hear your voice. I yearn to feel your touch reaching deep into my soul. Oh, Jesus, how I long for you. Oh, Jesus, how I long. Jesus, how I long for you. How I long for you. Oh, Jesus, how we long for you. Thank you.
All right, a little bit of nostalgia there. Playing the piano is a little bit like riding a bike. You can usually get back up on there, just hopefully you don't crash. Haven't done that for a while. Hey, why don't we talk together this morning about worship? Jesus had a few things to say about worship in the middle of a conversation with a woman at a well. It's in John 4, if you've got a Bible, John 4, 20 to 24. If you don't, just listen as I just dive into this little detour he takes in this conversation with this woman from Samaria. The woman goes, "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." So we've got worship wars going on back a couple of thousand years ago. Where's the right place to worship? And Jesus says, you know what? The time is coming when we will worship the Father, not on this mountain or even in Jerusalem. It's actually not about places. He goes on saying, the time is coming and has now arrived when the true worshipers, the genuine worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Eventually, the conversation moves even deeper, and this woman has a life-transforming experience in this encounter with Jesus. But Jesus gives us some really good insights about genuine worship, and I want to draw a few of them and share them with you today. First of all, Jesus teaches us that genuine worship is a relationship with God. Genuine worship is a relationship with God. Notice that Jesus does not say the Father is looking for worship. It's a very, very profound thought. The Father is not looking for worship. I think sometimes we can think God's up in heaven with a big hole in his heart and he's just hoping a few people will rock up to church today and sing him one more song. It doesn't say the Father's looking for worship. It actually says the Father's looking for worshipers. He's looking for people, not just a song. He's looking for people that will have a daily relationship with him. The simple thought Jesus gives us is God is not looking for your worship. He's actually looking for you. He's looking for you. Sometimes we hear statements like, God created us to worship him. You ever heard that statement? It kind of sounds spiritual, you know, God created us to worship him. But if you just pause and go, God created us to worship him, sounds like a pretty narcissistic God. Do you ever think like that? Yeah, only you and I. You know, God created us to worship him. Like, that's a pretty selfish reason. Like, God created all these people, worship me. I'm not sure that's a real attractive God. That's a bit of a needy God. I don't believe God created us to worship him. That'd be like me marrying Nicole because I need a cook and a house cleaner. How many know that's going to make a great marriage? I need a cook, need a house cleaner, so I marry Nicole for the benefits. Guys, if that's why you're getting married, little tip, don't get married. Just hire a house cleaner, hire a cook. No, I married Nicole because I love her and want to give myself to her. Now, there are some benefits. She happens to be a good cook. She's a pretty good homemaker, but I didn't marry her for those reasons. I married her to give myself to her because I wanted to be friends with her for the rest of our lives. There's some benefits, but they are secondary. They're not my motive. And in the same way, God did not create you and I to worship him. He actually created us to give himself to us in a free gift relationship. And when we love him in return, when we respond to his love, when we worship him, his heart is touched. But he's actually looking for us, not the worship. Are you following me today? He's looking for us, not the worship. In fact, later on, he says to this woman, if you only knew who I was, you would ask me and I would give you this generous gift of an artesian spring of water flowing up within you. This woman's coming, bucket, religious activity, drawing water out. It's all about her effort. He says, you know what? If you only knew, God wants to give you a spring. How many know springs you don't work for? It's just flowing. All you got to do is receive. That's God's love for you. It's not about you trying to please him. It's about you receiving his love and then responding it to it. So Jesus says, you know, the Father's looking for worshipers, people who have a daily relationship with him. And so worship is basically a relationship. And expressions of worship only have meaning in the context of a relationship. So, you know, I was at the market yesterday with Nicole. Imagine me going up to some random woman and kissing her. How many of that's going to be a little awkward? Like, who is this guy? The kiss, the expression of love, only has, if I don't know that person, it's actually pretty awkward. Of course, if I kiss Nicole, the kiss has meaning because there's a relationship there. Well, as we come and we sing together today some worship songs, they're like expressions of love. They only have meaning in the context of a relationship. And so worship is a daily relationship with God. It's not just an event, a date on the weekend. It's not just a Sunday morning experience. God wants to be part of all of our life. You know, I think sometimes our Western world has been influenced a lot by Greek thinking. And in the Greek world, there are compartments, and it's about balancing everything. There's your work life, there's your home life, there's your recreation, and then, you know, if you're a person of faith, there's your church life. And so you've got all these boxes, and the key is to tick all the boxes, you know. So, yeah, went to work this week, or went to school this week, spent some time with the family, did some exercise, came to church on Sunday, ticked my God box. It's very easy to kind of break our life up into segments and see God as just kind of one box that we tick every now and then, sang a couple of songs today. Yeah, made it to church. Well, in the Hebrew worldview, life was not a series of boxes. Life is viewed as a circle. And God is at the center of the circle, and God's active and interested in every area of our life. I love that. And so your work is, some people say, I got a secular job. What's a secular job? You mean God's not interested in your work? Thank you for that enthusiastic response. There's no such thing as a secular job. God's involved. He's interested in your work. He's interested in your family. He's interested in every area of your life. And so worship is about doing life 24/7 with God, interacting with Him, being His friend. Jesus is saying worship is a relationship. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 7, there was a bunch of religious people saying, hey, we cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. And Jesus goes, sorry, do we know each other? I never knew you. Jesus is not looking for religious activity. He's looking for a relationship. David, who is a man after God's own heart, he got this. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Notice it doesn't say, I will bless the Lord on Sunday morning. No, David got it. It's a daily relationship. Psalm 119:164, 7 times a day I will praise the Lord. I think that's pretty cool. Psalms 145, verse 2. Every day will I bless you. I will praise your name forever. David understood worship's not just a song. It's not just an event on a Sunday. Worship is a daily relationship with God. And then when we gather, it's an overflow of that relationship. And so I just want to encourage you today, whether you're a visitor or someone listening online, may not even be sure that there's a God, or you've been following God for many years. It's very simple, but Jesus in this debate about worship just goes to this woman, hey, look, the Father's actually looking for worshipers. And it's about you and God, and He's interested in your life. And so what would it look like this week just to be more aware of Him? And to let every aspect of your day be a praise and an honor to Him. And like any friendship, it takes time. You know, if I wanted to get to know Warren a bit more today, I'd have to spend some more time with him. So what were you doing in the Gold Coast this week? Tell me about the conference, Warren. And I'd ask him questions. He'd ask me questions. And I'd start to find out what he likes and what he doesn't like, what ticks him off. And as we do these things, we get to know each other. It's the same with God. If you never spend time with God, you'll never know Him. If you don't talk to Him, if you don't listen to Him, you don't find out what He likes and what annoys Him. That's how a friendship grows. And so I want to encourage you this week. Worship is a daily relationship with God. He wants to know you. He's pursuing you. He loves you. And so let's make room in our life for God. This week, everyone said amen. All right, second thought from Jesus. A little conversation about worship. So number one, genuine worship is a relationship. It's not a song, not an event. It's a relationship. Number two, genuine worship is a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual reality. Jesus says, God is a spirit, and those of us who worship Him must worship Him in spirit, yet in truth or reality. You know, there are two realms in the world. There's the natural realm, what we see with our five senses, and there is the spiritual realm. They're both very real. They interact, but they are also quite different. And the entire Christian life needs to be seen from a spiritual perspective. I mean, think about this morning. We've been singing to someone who we can't see. Someone walked in today, kind of look a little bit like Christian karaoke. Like we're singing, but like you can't actually see God, you know? We're praying, we're talking to God, but you can't see Him. But we believe that God is here, that He is listening. And so there's a whole spiritual dimension. If you don't believe in and understand and have faith in that, then most of our Christian life actually doesn't make sense. And so this spiritual reality, and so worship is the same. When we're singing today, God's not listening. Are you singing in tune? Oh, a bit of an off note there. He's not checking, oh, hands not very high this morning. You know, God's actually looking at our hearts today because worship is a spiritual reality. It's from my innermost being to God who is spirit. And so that's, worship is a spiritual interaction from my spirit to God's, me loving God, God responding to that love. It's involving the natural realm, but it starts and it takes place primarily in the spiritual realm. And God looks at our hearts. He doesn't just look at the external. However, our physical body is used to express what's happening in our heart. It could be simple. Maybe this week you were a little angry at one point. You know, sometimes when we're angry, we might clench our fists and our face might get a little red and our voice might get a bit raised. What's happening? We feel anger, annoyance inside, and our body is communicating that in a number of physical expressions. Or maybe you had a moment of sadness this week. Sometimes when we're sad, our body might, we might have some tears. And what are tears? It's just the eye duct releasing a drop of water, goes on the cheek and falls to the ground. How many know there's nothing sad about a drop of water falling to the ground? Right? But that's our body's way of communicating to the world, there's some loss, there's some grief, there's some sadness. So see, the physical expresses what's happening in the spiritual. And so it is with worship. We don't want to just feel things. We want to express them. It's the same in a marriage. You probably heard the couple had been married 20 years and they were going for marriage counseling and the wife was in tears and he doesn't love me anymore. He says, I told you I loved you 20 years ago. If it changes, I'll let you know. How many know that's not going to cut it? It's not enough just to feel love. You've got to express it. You know, it's like the 10 lepers. All 10 lepers were healed by Jesus. How many came back and said thanks? One. Do you think the other 9 were grateful or were they ungrateful? I don't think they were ungrateful. I don't imagine any of the 9 went home and said, oh, damn, I missed my leprosy. I'm so annoyed. Jesus healed me today. No, they were all grateful, but only one gave expression to the gratitude in their heart. And so worship, although it is from our heart to God's heart, though it is a spiritual reality, Jesus says, we can express our worship to God in a number of ways, particularly as we gather together. First of all, just to speak out your praise to God. The book of Psalms says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's good just to speak. You know, we have a little bit of free time between a song today. Just to say, God, I love you. Thank you, God. You're a good God. Lord, you've been faithful. Just to speak out your praise to God. Not just have it in your heart. Psalm 145, verse 21, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name. And so I want to encourage you, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, it doesn't say, let the extroverts say so. No, just want to encourage you. It's great practice, just as in our relationship, to say, thank you, I love you. It's also good to speak our praise to God. Speaking, a second way is to sing. The Psalms regularly say, come let us sing for joy to the Lord. Singing adds a new dimension to our words. Now, look, it doesn't say we all have to have a great voice. Aren't you glad for that psalm that says, make a joyful noise? We can all make a noise. And my dad used to say, we all have a good voice. Some of us just have a rough passage out. And then you might have heard of the prison singers. you know, behind a few bars, can't find the key. All the musical people will enjoy that one. So it's not about having a perfect voice or perfect harmony, but it says speak your praise and then sing. And singing adds a wonderful dimension. Let me illustrate this. Let's take the word hallelujah, which means praise Yah or praise the Lord. Just say the word hallelujah 8 times with me. Can we do that? Ready? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Okay, so we just spoke, praise you, Lord, 8 times. Pretty simple. I want you to sing with me. It's a little old song. You probably have heard it. If you haven't, it's very easy. It goes like this. Hallelujah. If you know it, help me out now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you know how to harmonize, this is your moment. Hallelujah. Bit bigger voices now. Hallelujah. Some harmonies. Hallelujah. 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 Now we just sang hallelujah 8 times. Was there any difference between singing and speaking? You could feel it, couldn't you? It's something about melody that adds heart and soul and spirit, whether you're a musician or not. And so that's another way to express our praise to God, to speak, to sing, to shout. At times we shout. A lot of shouting going on yesterday. Yep. A lot of shouting by the Tigers supporters particularly. And what do? Man, I tell you what, when someone's done something great, yellow and gold, Dusty says, you know. We shout. How many know God's done more than just win a grand final? And so there's appropriate moments. We just want to go, yay, God. And you're expressing your exuberation for the amazing exploits of our God. We can shout. We can clap. You go to a concert or performance and, you give people a standing ovation. What's happening? You're going, that's amazing. But you're not just feel the amazement, you know? No, you're letting people know. And so there's times when we clap. Come on, Robin was up here today. Come on, let's give God our praise. It's a time to clap and express our love that way. Lifting our hands. Some of you might go, well, what are we doing in here? No one's got a gun out. What does this mean? It's a sign of surrender. Yeah, surrender, except we're doing it willingly. And so by lifting our hands, kind of might look a little funny, but you just go, God, I surrender my life to you. Of course, not about the hands. Lamentations 3:40 to 41 says, let us lift our heart with our hands. It's not just about the hands, it's the heart, but that's a way to express surrender. Another way is through musical instruments. David, Psalm 33, verse 2, praise the Lord with the harp. Make music on the 10-string lyre. That obviously was a guitar. David actually invented musical instruments to praise God. And although music is not necessarily worship, it's a tool to help us worship God. And so, as we saw, there's been many different musical styles over the years. The Bible doesn't tell us what style to play. It just says, come with worship, come with praise, celebrate, worship Him. And so there's lots of different styles of music. And unfortunately, it's been a bit of a controversial subject in the church, you know. Most of us like the music of our late teenage years, and we kind of lock on that forever. And so different styles don't always appeal to us. Have you heard the funny story about the difference between a chorus and a hymn? Obviously, you haven't. So there's an old farmer, and he went to the city one weekend, and he attended the big city church. He came home, and his wife said, so, how was the big city? He goes, well, it was good. How was church? Oh, it was good. They did something different. They sang praise choruses instead of hymns. Praise choruses, said his wife. What are those? And the farmer goes, well, they're okay. They're kind of like hymns. They're just a bit different. And his wife said, well, what's the difference? And so the farmer said, well, it's like this. If I were to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, well, that would be a hymn. If on the other hand, I said to you, Martha, 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 oh Martha, 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 the cows, the big cows, the brown cows, the black cows, the white cows, the black and white cows, the cows, cows, cows are in the corn, are in the corn, are in the corn, are in the corn, the corn, 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 then if you repeat the whole thing two or three times, that would be a chorus. Some of you can identify with that, can't you? Well, the next weekend, his nephew, a new young Christian from the city, went to the country. And he visited the little church that the old farmer went to. And when he got back to town, his mother said, "Hey, how was the country?" "Oh, it was good. How was church?" "Oh, it was good. They sang hymns instead of regular songs." And his mother goes, "Hymns? What, like what are those?" "Oh, they're kind of like regular songs, but they're different." And his mother says, well, how are they different? The young man says, "Well, look, if I were to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, well, that would be a regular song. But if on the other hand, I said to you, oh, Martha, dear Martha, hear thou my cry. Inclinest thine ear to the words of my mouth. Turn thou thy whole wondrous ear by and by to the righteous, inimitable, glorious truth. For the way of the animals, who can explain? There in their heads is no shadow of sense. Hearkenest they in God's sun or his rain, unless from the mild, tempting corn they are fenced. Yea, those cows in glad, bovine, rebellious delight have broke free their shackles, their warm pews eschewed. Then goaded by minions of darkness and night, they all my mild, Chilliwack, sweet corn have chewed. So look to the bright shining day by and by, when all foul corruptions of earth are reborn, where no vicious animals make my soul cry, and I no longer see those foul cows in the corn." And then if I do verse 1, 3, and 4, and then a key change on the last verse, that would be a hymn. All right. So something for everybody there. But music can be a wonderful tool for us to praise God. Standing, Psalms 33, verse 6, let everyone stand in awe of God. Someone important walks into a room, we stand. So just standing can be a way of giving reverence and awe to God. Bowing or kneeling is another one. Psalm 95, verse 6, let us come and bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. There's times we may just feel to kneel, to bow down physically, reverencing yourself before God. Dancing, Psalms 149 verse 3, let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. Dancing expresses joy and delight. And so these are numbers of ways physically that we can express the worship that we have in our heart to God. And here's a little tip, praise looks good on you. You know, you all got dressed this morning. You're all looking really sharp. You know, there's one garment that looks better than anything you're wearing today. It's the garment of praise. It looks good on you. It really does. And so put on your garment of praise. Of course, all these expressions, singing, speaking, praising, shouting, clapping, dancing, lifting hands, kneeling, all these expressions physically are to be expressions of the inward worship of our heart. God doesn't want robots. If they meant something, how many know God would have made little robots in heaven just to clap and lift hands and clap and lift hands? No. God's not looking for the external. Jesus says worship is a spiritual reality. In fact, Jesus once said, Matthew 15, 8 to 9, these people honor me with their lips. They're doing the worship deal, but their hearts are far from me. They're worshiping me in vain. Worship doesn't mean anything because the heart wasn't in it. And so once again, God doesn't just want your song or your worship or ticking the Sunday morning box. He's looking for a relationship with you. He loves you. He actually created you to give himself to you. And when we respond in love and worship, his heart is touched. And so I want to pray that for each one of us, wherever we are in our relationship with God, these thoughts about genuine worship would just be a reminder to us today. Genuine worship is a relationship with God. Let's do life with God this week and see what amazing adventures he has for us each day. And then when we gather on the weekend, let's be more expressive in our worship. And as the leaders come early, and I want you to come, encourage you to be here right on time, not Christian Standard Time. you know, our teams come early and they practice and they pray. And it's really great if we can be here right from the beginning for some prayer, that first song, and something amazing happens when we bring our worship together and give Him our highest praise. Everyone said amen? Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, when the music fades and all is stripped away and we simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. Lord, we want to bring more than a song, for a song in itself is, it's not actually what you require. You search much deeper within through the way things appear, and you're looking into our heart. And so here at Bayside, we're reminded through this simple message this morning to come back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Lord, we're sorry for the thing we've sometimes made it when it's actually all about you. And so we look forward to doing life this week more aware of you, involved with you, in partnership with you every day. And Lord, may we receive your amazing love for us. For those that are here today or listening that may not even know you, Lord, right now, reach out to them, touch them, overwhelm them with your incredible love for them. May we respond and live daily lives of worship for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus a big clap today. Yes. Amen. Amen. I hope there was something there to encourage you in your spiritual journey today.